on the Rebel Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Live from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Welcome to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show. Brought to you by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. And by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800 State Farm. Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler and Curtis Terry.
Well, he's half right. Welcome once again to Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. John Sandler with you, along with head coach TJ Otzelberger. CT, Curtis Terry's on his way. He will be here shortly. A little traffic out there, but he will be here. Steve Cofield hopefully will join us in just a little bit as we are talking Runnin' Rebel basketball. The Runnin' Rebels off their two-game road swing, a tough one in Fort Collins, and then last night up in Logan, Utah against a much improved and beginning to really surge Utah State team. And the Rebels very happy to be coming back home to play Fresno State on Saturday afternoon at the Thomas and Mack, and really hoping for a great crowd. Coach, welcome to your show, first of all. That was a tough stretch of games. Rebels, I think for the most part, played hard and played well for most of those games, just not well enough to get over the hump in any of them, in those four.
We know it was a tough stretch, and we were going to have to play mistake-free basketball. Didn't matter if it was either any of the three road games or the home game with San Diego State. Didn't fault our guys for their effort for the most part. We're competitive, played hard, brought energy. When you're on the road, you're going to have to make some shots. You're going to have to knock down the three, stretch out the defense. We've seen a lot of different zones and teams kind of packing it in, and we need to continue to work in that area because we know we're going to continue to see more of it as the season moves forward.
Now, I think one of the things the Rebels have shown, and this group of Runnin' Rebels has shown, is that they can play with anybody in the conference, especially on their home floor. They battled San Diego State down to the wire. They were in the lead both at Colorado State and at Utah State well into the ball game, and really were battling a really good, solid Aggie ball club last night until the last 6 or 7 minutes of the ball game. So, I mean, I know you don't like the moral victories and what have you, but that's a should be a confidence builder for this team.
It should. Our guys are continuing to fight and compete. As a coach, you want to win every game. We certainly want to continue to get better and improve throughout the course of the season. Right now, we're at a point where we're fortunate to be coming back to the MAC, have the opportunity against a Fresno team that's better than their record and playing better right now, that we're able to get a win against in double overtime up there. So it comes down to us being really focused, digging in and taking it one game at a time, and it starts with this opportunity on Saturday.
Do you get any sense that the guys have gotten a little frustrated or discouraged, or do you think that they approach each game kind of like you do, as a new opportunity, a new challenge, and a new mountain to climb, if you will?
We're all very fortunate to have this opportunity to be part of this program. The resources, support, tradition that we have. So we need to be grateful. We need to be humble. We need to move forward with that enthusiasm and appreciation for what we have. I know our guys have that mindset, excited. We spent some time this afternoon on scouting report and walked through some things with Fresno, get back to the practice court tomorrow and get ready to go.
Yeah, I can't imagine there was a lot of physical activity today because I know I'm an old man, but that's not an easy transition to come back as late as we did last night, you know, planes, trains, and automobiles, and then get right back on the floor.
Today needed to be more of a mental day, things we can work on, talk about, and improve upon, watch some film, and walk through some things, and that's what it was.
Do you enjoy this time of year? This tends to be a little bit of kind of the grind or the dog days part. The conference tournament is still a little bit too far away to kind of get real excited about. Teams are battling through injuries, although the Rebels have done that most of the season and are as healthy as they've been in quite a while right now. But this is kind of the grind portion of the season. Is this a time that you thrive in, or is it a time that you kind of put your head down and just have to bull your way through?
It's a time of the year where you're trying to find one detail, one thing that you can exploit from one of your teammates or an advantage you can give to your players, a way to connect your team more together so they play for each other. Just different things that you can come up with to give yourself that little bit more to win. it's the time of the year where everybody knows everybody, everything's exposed, everybody knows who can drive left, who's not a good shooter. All those things are out in the open, and now you're trying to find that one edge you can give your team to just be successful.
And it's a great way of looking at it. Let's get into last night's game a little bit. And one of the real highlights for the Runner Rebels was the return of Elijah Mitru-Long to that that energy, just force on the court at both ends of the floor defensively, stripping the basketball and making life difficult for the Utah State guards, and offensively attacking, getting to the rim, shooting from outside, and looking like he was really having fun out there.
It was the first time since he's been back you could tell he looked like himself. Had that stretch where he was really good offensively. All night long I thought he did a reasonably good job defensively, providing energy on the ball, pressuring the basketball, contesting shooters, and it gives us another weapon out there. So good to see him kind of coming back into his own and having that energy that we need.
I know a couple of weeks ago here on the show you made a very emphatic statement that Marvin Coleman was the point guard. And when you said it, I admittedly was the matter of factness and the boldness, the bluntness of the statement kind of took me by surprise a little bit. And I'm in the back of my head, I was like, well, I wonder how Eli's going to react. And at least from my perspective, it has been absolutely smooth sailing and not an issue in any way, shape, or form.
It hasn't. And I think Marvin works every day and helped take our team when we were in a spot that we were kind of trying to get through some overtime losses and put it together. Marvin really stepped up for us in that key moment. He's been consistent and rock solid every day. That's what you want. You want everybody in your team to stay ready for their moment when their number's called. He did that at a high level, and we have that confidence and belief in him, not only for now, but a guy for the future as a young sophomore who can impact this program. And we know with Eli, it's a veteran guy who's played a lot of college basketball and knows there's a lot of things that you can do to help a team win. And if you're not starting at the point guard, there's so many other things that you can do to help impact winning, and I'm glad to see that Eli wants to step up in those ways.
He's a little bit Inspector Gadget-ish for you. He can do a bunch of different things. He can spell Marvin at the point. He can play the two. He's not big enough, really, to do much else, but he's kind of sneaky. He can get in there. He can get up. He can grab a rebound and hedge and go down and bother a big man down low. I just think it's a tremendous asset to have him back for the remainder of the conference season, knock on wood.
It is, because he gives you another energy guy. He gives you a guy in the open floor. Like you said, he can get to the basket. He can make a shot. Defensively, he's got good quickness and instincts. So just another weapon for us. And at this time, you want to have all the weapons you can to help continue to, you know, give yourself the best chance to win night in and night out.
Now, Coach, I know you're a stickler for discipline, and there are basic rules that you have about being on time and certain key things, meals and study hall and the bus and things like that. We have the same thing here with the coach's show when one of our stalwarts is a little bit late, and just want to know what you think we should do as Mr. Terry kind of slides into his chair, trying to kind of sneak in here without anybody noticing. Is there something we should?
Curtis, were you on the Sweet 16 team here? We're good.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Still got a little bit of juice here.
Yeah.
Good try, John.
It's not going to last much longer. CT, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thankfully, wasn't a couple cars ahead, but I'm doing good.
I know you had some traffic issues. We're just talking a little bit, about Eli and his game last night, and looked like he was kind of back to his old self and really having fun on the floor last night.
Yeah, 100%. I think we got a glimpse of that against San Diego State a little bit, obviously kind of getting some of the rust off, getting used to playing with that cast. I know he'd mentioned like it's trying to just get control of the ball. But at Utah State, he was coming down the tunnel to warm up still, 45 minutes before tip, and I was going up to go to the media room to check out the refreshments. And I said, man, go out there and have some fun and get back to your old self. And he was like, yeah, I'm ready. And you could just see there was a little something different, I thought, from Eli. And then once he started playing, you could see some of that Canadian swag he had going. He was popping a little bit, hopping, mugging some guys. And I think that's just a part of feeling comfortable and confident. But it's definitely, I think it's a good thing to get him back out there, making shots, contributing, but also just bringing that leadership and just that presence of we can do this, be calm. And it definitely helped. So I'm excited for him to get added to the puzzle, get reacclimated. It's been a tough stretch for the guys, but I think Eli, you know, along with everybody else, is we're still in a good spot from my perspective. But I love Eli. I think it's a Canada ting.
Yes, it's Canada ting. You know who else? We haven't talked about him very much because he hasn't had a chance to get on the floor very much. But he provided some valuable minutes last night. Certainly played with his standard physicality against Keita. Cheikh Ndombele got on the floor and really gave the Rebels some valuable minutes last night, and that was fun to watch.
Yeah, injuries have prevented him from getting more opportunities. It's really been a tough story. His career's been marred by quite a few injuries, and this year his body's just been broken down. So there hasn't been very many opportunities to get him out there. Over the last couple of weeks, as he's gone through his treatment and, you know, rehabbing his body, he was ready, ready to get some minutes, and we needed him last night. Thought he did a great job.
He really did, and one of the reasons the Rebels were able to hang in a very tough environment against a team that's playing really well right now, I think was one of the things you stressed was the physical play. I mean, there aren't a lot of guys on that Utah State team that could hang with the Rebels banging and bumping, and the Rebels for a long time last night bothered Keita, bothered Merrill, bothered a lot of guys on that team before they were eventually able to pull away. And then, it's a little bit unusual, we've mentioned it before, for Rebel fans to hear that, because for a long time this Rebel team hasn't played with a lot of a sort of a physical toughness on the court. But this year's team is, and I think they've learned to kind of hang their hat on that.
That's what we need to be. We don't have a big margin for error. We've got to be physically tough. We've got to be aggressive. We've got to be relentless on the offensive glass. We're top 10 in the country in the offensive rebounding department. We need to be. And then defensive rebounding, I think we're top 25. So that's one area that really shows energy and compete and toughness. We don't have the gift or ability to go out and make 15 threes in a night that some teams do. And so the shooting the basketball a lot of times can cover many sins. We've got to play pretty sound basketball, take care of the ball, really defend, and then be relentless on the boards.
You know, I made the point on a tweet last night after the game, just because it really struck me last night, the Utah State student section was really tremendous. They filled a good 30% of the gym, maybe more, and they were engaged and active and what have you. And that makes such a difference. And I talked about how this team really, really needs and deserves the Runner Rebel students and fans to come out starting with Saturday like they did against San Diego State and help the Rebels with a home environment here.
It does. I mean, it's impactful. It gives our guys energy, confidence, that enthusiasm, that support really helps us play at that higher level. Right now, we're still trying to find ourselves and that energy on the road. But at home, when we've had that support, our guys have stepped up and they've played with more energy, flying around, blocking shots, diving for loose balls, all those things that we emphasize each day. So love to see everybody come out. Great opportunity, 5 o'clock on Saturday against Fresno, and chance for us to sweep a conference foe, which would be great for our program.
Curtis, in terms of the home crowd and the students, as a player, I mean, is it something you notice, or is it something that sort of subconsciously kind of moves you along?
I definitely think it moves you along. You notice it. I mean, even if you don't want to admit it or that it impacts you or you acknowledge it. But we have to mark it, and for the record, Logan, as well as that school up north, for the students, there's not much to do. Okay, that's not a joke. Necessarily. So I think that, I mean, comes into factor as well for them. And I'm not going to give them credit because the sign that they displayed at the beginning of the game.
I know, you didn't like the welcome to hell sign.
Very
I know,
nice.
You didn't like that.
Oh, I don't know. It wasn't very nice. But that's definitely, I mean, the opposite of hell from my perspective. I thought, I mean, hell was hot and fire and all that. Logan was the exact opposite, cold and snowy. But I think with the student section, it's very important. And I think a big change that was made for our team is having the student section flip to the other end, obviously, in terms of for going in that terms of that second half. That plays a huge factor in terms of just the momentum and the team seeing the other end and the cutouts behind the basket and those types of things. But again, the fans are going to come. The students are going to come. Slowly but surely, it's heading in that direction. But the guys definitely need the help more than anything. People can't take for granted how much of an impact that has. I mean, it's a couple points in my perspective. And I think that can get you over the hump sometimes. It can stall a run. It can start a run. But I definitely think for Logan and for the Utah State, that definitely put them over the edge. And I mentioned to John, the guy sitting there, like, doing the DJ in-house, he had his Apple Watch, and he had the decibel reader. And it got to 101 at one point. So they had that place rocking, albeit I'll give them credit for that. But that definitely plays a factor into it. But we got to come out and support our guys. We can't wait for things to get on the positive end. Let's do it now so that way they know that we're there, we're behind them all the time.
Yeah, and keep in mind, the Running Rebels are still very much in the race for one of the top spots in the conference standings, which means one of the top seeds in the conference tournament. And when we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll kind of look at the conference standings at this point as we're sort of on the edge of the stretch run in conference play, kind of give you an idea where everybody is right now, and talk a little bit about the upcoming schedule and the work and the opportunity that the Runner Rebels have to cement the place in the upper half of the conference, avoid having to play extra games in the tournament, and then you never know. You don't, because the Rebels have been so good at home this year. So we'll talk about all of that after the break. I want to remind you, fans, that getting you back in the zone, need to get the job done fast. AutoZone can help. Visit AutoZone.com. That was smooth. And start the job with a free next-day delivery or free same-day store pickup. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Back with more from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show from Learfield, IMG College. Welcome back to Bailiwick. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, head coach T.J. Otzelberger, talking Runner Rebel basketball on the Runner Rebel Coaches Show here inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. Great venue and our home away from home for the basketball season every week as the Runner Rebels really starting the second half of the conference season, looking at the schedule and the standings. After the Rebels had a very successful first half, just finishing up a really tough stretch against some of the top teams in the conference. Played four of the five top teams in the conference over the last week and a half, three of those games on the road, and one of them at home against a San Diego State team that has not lost this season. So a stretch in which the Rebels were the underdog in every single one of those games, and now getting ready to try to turn things around at home with a game against Fresno State on Saturday afternoon, a 5:00 tip against the Bulldogs. As I mentioned, Coach T.J. Otzelberger, Curtis Terry with me here. And Coach, how much attention do you pay? I know you're kind of focused on the next game and all of that. Do you ever step back and kind of look at the schedule and look at what's ahead kind of down the road just to have some perspective on things?
Not a lot at this point, because still so much can happen. Teams are, you know, continuously adapting and adjusting through the course of the year, and everybody hits a stride at different times, so you don't know what can happen. There's still, for us, seven games, you know, remaining in that league schedule. So a lot of room for variance, a lot of room for improvement, and just want to try to control what's in front of us one game at a time.
Is some of that due to the fact that this is your first year and everybody is still trying to kind of find their level and their role and everything, you know, the relative place in the program?
The other thing I think is, you know, our time is a limited resource, and me looking at the standings and trying to speculate where we might finish isn't helping us win games. I need to try to spend my time, be very focused, intentional between our team and my family on how I allocate my time. So I try to do everything I can to spend it in the world of things that I can control and not spend too much time with things I can't.
Control what you can control, John.
What about from a player's perspective, Curtis? The impression you get is the players just kind of show up and you know, they have the scouting report, they know who's next, and it's just kind of a one game at a time thing. There's no real long-term perspective or feeling about it, unless maybe you're battling for the top spot in the conference late in the year.
On to the next one, yeah. As they say. Now, I think the biggest thing is you just kind of get lost in it. I mean, lost in the process in terms of for the guys. I mean, obviously they've got school, they're traveling, they've got shoot around, they've got weights, study hall. There's not a lot of extra time for them to kind of worry about that, especially when they can't control it. We can't try to manipulate the board and how it's going to happen and play for seeding and things like that, because most times, from my experience and my perspective, when people do that, it doesn't pan out like that. So, I mean, it's kind of a waste. But I think you know what you have to do, and that best thing you can do is win that game that you're playing and then move on to the next one. Especially, I think, in a couple conferences this year, a lot of teams are kind of bunched up tight, and it's a game and a half separation. And everybody's going to kind of do some work for you. So you can't really worry about what's going to happen down the line, because if you handle this, somebody else is playing the team that's two or three in front of you, and they're going to knock each other off. So, I mean, your math is going to go out the window, especially when your math is as bad as mine. So I don't even try to worry about it.
You mentioned the shoot-around and weights and games and et cetera, and class and all of that stuff. How important is it for these guys to kind of get in a routine and get in a rhythm of a kind of regular things during the season?
It's really important to make sure that you have that routine and that your sleep schedule is the same from day to day, that you're doing a great job getting to bed, getting a good night's rest, eating well, staying hydrated, and then all those things that you mentioned between the weight workouts, extra shooting, film, practice, on and on. There's a lot on their plate, but, you know, that's what we all sign up for in this. We want to be great, so you want to make that investment. And what would seem like a lot of work to somebody else, we need to make it seem like that's the minimum, and we're pushing above and beyond that and continue and expand our work capacity both individually and collectively.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. I think unknowingly sometimes young men who are in the program don't realize how important that is, how important just that regularity is. Did you ever kind of – did the light bulb ever go on for you?
For sure, 100%. You don't know. Like, you think, I know what – is coming, I'm prepared for it, I'm ready for it. You've got no idea. It's like the commercial. You think you know, you've got no idea. Not a clue at all, because you think you're playing and you're prepared to compete at that level, day in and day out, 110%, but not when you have to do it continuously. And then you've got class, you've got weights, you've got study hall, you've got to take care of your body, you've got to get treatment, and then rinse, wash, and repeat and do it all again. It's hard to figure out. For me, like I mentioned, I think it was last week, freshman year was, I mean, shell-shocked. I was like, holy smokes. I got to go to class. I got to be on time. And like I mentioned, I had a rough 6 weeks of school my freshman year, and Coach Hill called my mom. That's when the light went on. It was like, this is real. This is a job. And I think probably at this stage, the guys have figured it out. The only adjustment they probably had to get used to was going into winter break, figuring that out for that five-week stretch, and then coming out of winter break, because you've got to then again adjust your schedule, because you do got to factor in classes and things like that. But I think once you start to do it, you figure it out, and you know your body, and you know what you need to do to prepare yourself. But again, everybody's different. But for me, it was, again, it's a process. You got to follow that script, follow that schedule, and be regimented. Otherwise, you can get lost in the wind.
I think a lot of that also is dependent on the staff that exists here. And I'm not just talking about the assistant coaches. We've talked about Coach Buckley and Coach Locum, Coach Kruger, and what a terrific job they're doing and how well prepared the Runner Rebels are with TJ and his staff. But the support staff, and we've had a few of them on the air, Amir and Connor, the academic and video and academic
guys.
Can
we give a shout out to what the guys did academically though as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, set program records again for cumulative team GPA and as well as semester GPA, 3.1 cumulative GPA and 3.25 semester GPA, highest program record for the Running Rebels. I think that's awesome. That's not easy to do, and especially when they've got to balance all that stuff and juggle it. So, I mean, hats off to those guys, as well as Coach for allowing them to do that, and Connor Robinson for kind of spearheading that. I mean, in study hall on the road as a player, it's not fun.
It's not. But, Coach, I mean, it extends down to the managers. You know, those guys, we have to bust down to Salt Lake because of the snow. And when we got down to the airport, I mean, it was snowing. It was pelting. And those kids, I mean, not a blink, not a breath of hesitation out there on the tarmac grabbing bags and doing their jobs. And I think they're an impressive group. They really work hard, and they you know, they're never an eyebrow raised.
It's an important dynamic in our program that everybody understand that, you know, we're all in this together. Nobody's job is more important than anybody else's, and everybody has to be at their best at all times. And I think from top to bottom, there's a lot of people that are contributing to those work habits and building them. And that's, you know, really we're trying to implement those and help influence the young men in our program to be the best they can every day for now and then for the rest of their life moving forward.
And it's important that it goes from top to bottom and all the way from side to side, that if the players see those kids working, if the kids see the players working hard, all of that, it goes hand in hand. It has to.
It does. It all goes in unison, and everybody's got to do their part, and I think we all elevate each other, raise each other up. So it's great to see those guys working as hard as they are, and pays off.
Curtis mentioned the academics and the success the Runner Rebels are having in the classroom right now. Is that something that you have sort of made one of the pillars of your programs wherever you've been?
We've prioritized it wherever we've been in terms of letting the guys know what the standard is, that this is about being a student athlete, what the expectation level. Guys come in from all types of educational backgrounds, so we realize there's different starting points for different guys, but we try to establish where that standard is for each individual and then collectively. And it's something that we've done on other stops. It's something we're going to continue to do here, and we're fortunate to have somebody like Connor Robinson who works his tail off to give our guys a chance. And our guys know when they come into this program that that's going to be a big priority for us. So don't come here if you think this is just about basketball. It's far greater than that.
And I'm sure that's a message that you send very, very clearly during recruiting, that the expectation is that you will work as hard off the court, whether that means weights or what have you, and the classroom, as you do on the court.
It is the expectation. I think that discipline and work ethic, you can't pick and choose throughout life areas where you want to be disciplined and have accountability. If you're disciplined in one area, you're going to be disciplined across the board. So we want to make sure that not only on the court, in the classroom, in the community, all those areas, our guys have a tremendous work ethic and discipline.
It's really impressive. And, Curtis, I know you know firsthand from both perspectives how difficult that is, how challenging that is.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, again, you've got to learn to be a student and learn to embrace being a student and getting your education. For me, without getting my education in 4 years, I wouldn't be sitting here doing what I'm doing and having the opportunities. But, again, from a coaching standpoint, you've got to stress that to your guys. They've got to understand that life after basketball, because the ball is going to stop. But then, again, from Connor's position, I know firsthand as well, because I was in Connor's position at one point. I'm glad I'm not anymore. It's not an easy job. A lot of long nights and answering the phone and emails and making sure guys are prepared for X, Y, and Z and making sure they got all the books for the road trip. But like Coach said, I think everybody is important. Not everybody's going to get the credit or is going to get the chance to be on the interview or be in the box score, but it's a working piece that everybody has to be on the same page, because you can't take that next step forward if somebody's dropping the ball in any area. And I think that's how you really start to build programs. And obviously, I mean, TJ knows it. I mean, that's the biggest thing, because it's about, for me, helping young men become men and prepare themselves for life. If they can handle that stuff, the basketball is easy, because they're just naturally gifted and talented. Are they going to work at those other things? And that's going to carry over.
Yeah, I you can't do it alone. You certainly are the tip of the spear. You're the driving force behind the program as the head coach. But you've got a great group, starting with your assistant coaches. And it's interesting to watch the dynamic that you have with your staff during games, during practices. You give your staff a ton of responsibility. Roles are I don't know if they're absolutely defined or people find them during, you know, as you begin to work together. But I'm really impressed with the dynamic of the staff.
We hired guys who are really good coaches, have great character. They can all teach the game, implement game plans, develop young men, and that was a big criteria. We didn't want to hire someone who was just a recruiter. We didn't want to hire somebody who just thought their job was this. So we've hired really complete guys that could all, you know, do many things within the program to help us be successful. And so I act as more the CEO and kind of delegating and talking to those guys about areas where they can be effective, empowering them to, you know, to use their knowledge and their experience to help benefit the young men in our program, and then just pulling our resources. I don't always have to be the one with the idea. It's coming together and doing what's best for the ball club, and we're fortunate to have that chemistry on our staff, and I think it's attributed to the great character that each of the coaches have and the unbelievable experiences they've had both as players and coaches, the people they've been around. So it comes together well for us.
And it's a remarkable mix of personalities, experiences, what have you. Kevin Kruger, the youngest of the three assistants, obviously a great playing career and an unbelievable pedigree with his dad experience kind of moving up and now moving out a little bit, quote-unquote, on his own. DeMarlo Slocum, who's a young guy but who has a ton of experience at programs, mostly here on the West Coast, and with the Las Vegas roots. And then Tim Buckley, who is, I have to ask you, you are locked in during games, you're organizing things, you're calling plays. Has there ever been a moment since you've been with Coach Buck where he has said something on the bench, generally directed at one of the officials, where it has just kind of caught you off guard and you can't help yourself?
No comment.
Okay.
I have. He had a good one last night.
He did.
He had a great one. That's a foul in any country.
He is absolutely beautiful, an old school guy, and he just is an absolute breath of fresh air on the bench. He really is.
I'm curious, Coach. Kind of like in high school, in the yearbook, when you vote for awards, like with your staff, like who's the class clown or the funny guy? Who's best personality? Because we don't get to see this kind of stuff on a day in and day out.
Well, some of the things that Coach Buck says entertain all of us. He definitely has some phrases he's acquired over the years.
No doubt.
And some ways of saying things that we, you know, like a lot of times with a drill or something, he'll say it's not just perfunctory. It's really important that we do it a certain way. So he's got some very expanded vocabulary and then some sayings that are a little bit old school, but it ends up generating a laugh quite a bit from us after the fact.
He's a beauty, and I think the Runner Rebels, yeah, it was a great hire. I think they're very, very fortunate to have him and the other assistants as you guys. And, you know, that's something that doesn't get talked about very much at all. And we've seen all sorts of different groups and levels of chemistry and qualities of chemistry among staffs here and on other staffs. This seems to be a coaching staff that has blended extremely well, and as long as they're going to be together, it looks like it's a well-oiled machine.
Well, they're all team guys. They want to do what's best for the program. There's, you know, any job within the program that's called upon, those guys will step up and do it. And so they want to be the best we can be. I think, you know, as coaches, you talk to your team about chemistry and leadership and investing in each other. The best thing we can do is start and be that example, lead by example, and that's what we try to do every day.
Coach, before we let you go, just a word on Fresno. And it's a tremendously big game at the Thomas & Mack on Saturday.
Yeah, great opportunity. I mean, they've got a, you know, gifted front line, both kids from Vegas with Grimes and Robinson. Both can step out and shoot it, score around the basket. They've got veteran guards. Obviously, it was a battle up there, a double overtime win. It took some heroics on our end to come out with a victory. We need an awesome crowd. We're going to need to play with great energy. They're going to come with great defensive intent. And we're going to need to play Running Rebel basketball where we get stops, get out in transition and run and try to attack early. And then what we don't score, finish up on the offensive glass. So love to see everybody come out and support our young men. We're excited. It's a huge game for us. So come check out the Rebels.
That's Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock, Running Rebels against Fresno at the Thomas & Mack. Coach, go home and get those kids to bed, and we'll see you on Saturday for the ball game.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Head coach T.J. Otzenberger visiting with us. We'll take a break, come back with more. Remind you that Findlay Chevrolet, located on the in the Southwest at 215 in South Rainbow, Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealership. Frankly, they're customer-driven. More of the T.J. Otzenberger and Runner Rebel Coaches Show when we come back. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino on the UNLV Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. All right, back here at Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. John Taylor, Curtis Terry, you're going to get you home. If you have any questions, you can send them in on our Twitter feed. We've got a couple. Anything you want, talk about Runner Rebel basketball. Runner Rebels with a big game on Saturday against Fresno State. 5 o'clock with the tip. We'll be on the air at 4:30 with Runner Rebel warm-up. CT, let's take a look at the Mountain West Conference standings. We haven't done this very much. You know, the focus and still will continue to be on the Runner Rebels, as it's the first year of the program under head coach T.J. Otzelberger. I think he's doing a terrific job. I think the future is very, very bright with the discipline and the culture that he's building, he and the staff are building. It's a matter of, you know, getting his players, his pieces. I hear that all the time. Can you give us a sense of really kind of what lies beneath that? I mean, he comes in, he's got a bunch of guys who were recruited by other coaches, by other staffs. Some of them may fit parts of what he wants to do. Others might not have any fit at all. My guess is that most of the guys he inherited are not perfect fits for his system and his program. But he's adjusting, they're adjusting, and they're doing the best they can.
Now, I think the biggest thing is making sure you, as coach, when I say you, as a coach, you don't try to force something onto your team or your guys. Because those guys are going to be in flux year in and year out. Whether guys transfer, leave early, are hurt. With Connor Robinson in charge, we won't have any academic ineligibilities, that's right. For sure. But making sure that you're not stuck to your ways, and that way you're making other guys adapt to what you're doing. Obviously, with this group first year in, he's got to build and conform and put around them a system that's going to be helpful and beneficial for them to succeed. It's always not always easy, and at times we've seen coach doing things where people are like, well, that's not what TJ did at South Dakota State, and run and gun and shooting threes. Well, if you don't got the personnel to do that, you've got to flip your identity and change it and do something different. And with this group, they've taken on that defensive focus, that defensive approach, which I think is the right fit. But I think all that stuff weeds itself out and kind of the dust settles, because the guys that want to be here, they're going to be here, and I think they're still here, obviously. And once you make that decision, that commitment, you push all your chips in, and you're here for the long haul. And from there, like we said, that builds the foundation. What these guys are doing now, when coach and these guys are going to the tournament year in and year out, and they're competing for the conference regular season title and the conference tournament and automatic bid, it's not because of what they did in that season. It's what they did this year one in terms of laying the foundation. And I think that goes for all programs across the board. And from my experience, we struggled and went through some tough times and had guys kicked off the team and had battles and on-court arguments. My first year with Coach Kruger, I was like, what the heck? And that was a team that was projected to win the conference with three returning all-conference players.
Yep.
And it didn't go as planned. So I think you've really got to commit to building it the right way for the right reasons. But guys got to buy in, and I think we've seen that. And it takes some time to have that trust, because the biggest thing is guys trusting. Early in the season, you still some pushback. Or I'm not quite sure, like dipping your toe in the water. Am I ready to jump in, or am I just kind of – sit here and kind of bask in the sun and dip my toes in? These guys have bought in. That's where we've seen the growth, and they've kind of taken off. Now it's about making sure that we get the right pieces to complement each other. So that way we've got guys that can spell people and add something different, as opposed to having all the same type of player that do the same type of thing. Like the New York Knicks, if you got all four men that all do the same thing, you're not going to all play and be successful. So it's about building. It's kind of building a puzzle. And I think coach is doing that. But again, it takes time. But from my perspective, it can't be like the Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. You've got to come first, and then let's build this thing, because that's a big factor in it, especially in this town, especially with the running
routes. Yeah, you're talking about the fans, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
And we've talked about it for years, and I understand that there have been, you know, there have been a lot of rough times, and believe me, I've watched every second of it and called every moment of it, and I know that at times it hasn't been fun, but I will tell you right now that I am as optimistic about this program today, right now, about the future of this program as I have been in a very long time, and that is not saying anything negative about anybody who's been here before. But it just seems that for this time, with this group of young players, not the ones at UNLV, but the group of young basketball players who are coming up into college now, this staff, this head coach, this group, this athletic director, what have you, is really well suited to leverage those student athletes and bring them together into a winning program.
Yeah, I think it's about putting these guys in position to be successful off the court, life after basketball, life after college. And the biggest part about that is the stuff off the court. And like what they're doing with the training table over at the Fertitta Football Complex for all the student athletes to be able to have those meals, that's huge. As opposed to having to go to the dining commons with your Rebel card, trust me, that gets old real fast. But having that to where these guys and girls can come there and have that, and that's a staple, they know, well, they're behind us. What we're doing is not taken for granted, and they're supporting us, as well as, like, the charters. I mean, something like that, even though we got back late last night, typically a couple years ago, you're driving down to Salt Lake, you're staying the night, then you're getting up at 6 a.m. to fly back. It's those little things. Yeah, those little things like that allow these student-athletes to compete at their highest level, because they're already taxed and asked to do a lot. But just for them to give their best effort every night out, and they know that they're appreciated, because that's all anybody wants, right? I just want to be loved. Let me know you love me, and I'll do anything for you, right? But I think, again, building a program, they're heading in the right direction. I love what they're doing. And if people don't know me, you obviously know me. I call it how I see it. I'm not going to blow smoke. And I love the direction of which things are going. And it's all for the right reasons. And they start for the reasons that are not basketball on the court related. That's the biggest thing I think and I can get behind. Because, again, these guys putting the ball in the basket and flying through the air, that stuff's going to happen. But, again, having that discipline, accountability, responsibility, those are the things that make people successful in school, on the court, in life, just as human beings. And I think we're heading the right way, and we're doing it for the right reasons.
All right, let's turn our attention to the current standings of the Mountain West Conference, because the goal is to finish in the top five. You finish in the top five, you don't have to play either in the play-in game or in that first round series of games. You get to go kind of to the quarterfinals automatically, and it's a big deal. And it would be a big benefit for the Runner Rebels to not have to play in the 6-10 or the 7, you know, the 7-9 game, whatever, what have
6-11,
you.
6-11,
yeah. 6-11, 7-10, and et cetera. Right now, the Runner Rebels are in sixth place in the Mountain West Conference. San Diego State's going to win the league. They're 12-0. Who knows if they're going to go undefeated?
I don't think so.
You don't think they will?
Nope. February 22nd. I think they got something coming their way, 3 o'clock.
But Colorado State and Boise have both gotten hot. Colorado State's won 3 in a row and I think 5 of 6. Boise has won 5 straight games. They are tied for second place at 8-4. Utah State with a win tonight and Reno are 7-5. Rebels right behind them at 6-5. And those are the teams that are above 500 in their conference record. Everybody else is below 500. New Mexico, who you can't tell what you're going to get night in and night out, they're 5-6. Fresno's been playing better, but they're 4-8. They had a really tough start to the Mountain West Conference schedule, started by that Runner Rebel victory up there in double overtime. And then you got Air Force, who I think is a real disappointment this year, San Jose State and Wyoming. The good news for the Runner Rebels, if you think about it this way, they will play 4 of the 5 teams that are ahead of them in the standings in the second half of the season, and 3 of those 4 games are at home. They will play Reno at home, they'll play Colorado State and Boise at home, play at San Diego State. But the game Saturday is really important for the Runner Rebels to try to take a step to get one of those coveted spots in the top half of the conference seating, conference tournament seedings.
Yeah, and again, we were talking about earlier, let's not try to map out who we need to beat and who's going to beat who so we can get to that finish line with that seed or that spot that we want. I think the bigger thing for these guys, because if even, say, hypothetically, you dropped a game against Fresno, you can still finish, you know, in the upper half. The bigger thing is having them come out and staying together, playing well, and continuing to build on what they've already done so far, so that way we're finishing the season at our best and playing strong with momentum and getting hot then. It's because it's not how you start. It's obviously how you finish, because you want to ride into that with momentum, but you still got to come out and win games. But, heck, I think it's going to be a fun finish.
Yeah, it is.
The rest of the way. I mean, even with San Diego State at the top, people are giving them battles. But if you do what you're supposed to do, take care of business, anything can happen. So we'll see.
Anything certainly can. And I think getting Eli back is a big deal. Yeah. Gives Coach another tool to play with, if you will, another toy. And Eli is certainly an experienced guy. We saw what he could do in the second half last night, 9 points, and at times was kind of dominating that game.
Yeah, and you got to think about like what he's had with in terms of a roster. Still hasn't really had the full roster available to him for an extended stretch of games. Now this is a chance to really kind of put things together. And even, I mean, what Chekna did last night,
yep,
we talked about it. Those were huge minutes because Mbake was gassed. You could see it. And he can only do so much. But being able to be spelled a couple minutes here and there, that buys you some time. And so if everybody can do their part and start firing on all cylinders, anything can happen, because all you got to do is hopefully only win 3 games in 3 days as opposed to 4 games in 4 days. But it's going to be fun.
It will be.
Exciting finish, which I think the best part is knowing that you got a chance as opposed to no matter what happens, we know the outcome. But with this group, always got a chance and always going to be in the game till the end.
Final segment coming up. We will take a break, come back with that. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino. From Learfield, IMG College. All right, back for our final segment. Runner Rebels getting ready for Fresno State Saturday afternoon. 5 o'clock tip at the Thomas and Mack. Curtis and I have all the action starting at 4:30 with Runnin' Rebel warm-up. Final segment here on the coaches show. And Curtis had a question come in on our Twitter handle about the Mountain West Conference and whether you think it's better now or better in your years. And I know toward the end of your career there were some really good teams in the and really good players in the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, and that was a long, long time ago. Whew, I won't age myself. That'll age all of us. It's different. It's like they say, who's better, Jordan or LeBron or Kobe? Michael Jordan's the best basketball player ever. Not even close. But it's different because a lot of the teams that were at the top when I played aren't in the conference anymore. Utah, BYU, yep. But now you add San Jose, you add Boise. Reno's in the conference now. They used to not be in the conference. I think for the conference, with all the teams from, six up are all bunched together, that shows that it's a very strong conference. Everybody's beating up on each other, aside for those guys down there in Southern California. But I think it's good for the conference to be strong from top to bottom. I think that's the biggest thing, as opposed to having one or two teams and everybody else just lagging so far behind.
Yep.
But I think we're getting back to where we're going to have a three, maybe even four bid league here coming up, especially with Colorado State, with what they're building over there. I think Coach Alford, I'll give him his credit. He's a good coach. He'll put things together up there at Reno. We already know TJ's going to have this thing rocking and rolling here in no time soon because it's already heading in that direction. San Diego State's going to continue to do what they do. In New Mexico, you can never count them out.
Right.
So I think it's a strong conference. I would obviously say biasedly it was better back then. Of course it was. But I think it's strong all the way around, and having competitive games is the biggest thing. And that's what see night in and night out.
And I think the conference is better when UNLV, New Mexico, some of the marquee programs, San Diego State, are good. And hopefully the Runner Rebels. And we, Curtis and I, both think that the Runner Rebels will be back at that level very, very soon. That's going to do it for us. Want to thank Jared back in our studios for his hard work. Triv engineering alongside. Thanks all of you for coming out. We'll be back next week. But Saturday, get to the Thomas and Mack, 5 o'clock against Fresno State, 4:30 Runner Rebel warm-up. For Curtis, for Coach, this is John saying thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Talk to you Saturday. Have a great evening.
Live from Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Rebel Sports Network.